This is Way of the Master Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Burkina. So, what's new in the Anglican Communion this week? Faced with a bid from Canadian clerics to bless gay weddings, the worldwide Anglican Communion now faces a real risk of breaking apart over differences between its liberal and conservative wings. Quoting religious journalist and commentator Cliff Longley, the train and the buffers are getting closer. The local branch of the Anglican Church in the Canadian capital asked Ottawa Bishop John Chapman to authorize the blessing of homosexual marriages. Bishop Chapman is an advocate of such blessings. If he approves that request, it's likely to enrage the global South. You know, conservative churches in Africa, Latin America, and Asia who stick to scripture. It would also increase the chances of a worldwide split. American liberals sparked the row by ordaining openly gay B. Gene Robinson as Bishop of New Hampshire in 2003. Church Times editor Paul Handley, reflecting on the latest move from Ottawa, said, "It's inevitable that a number of North American dioceses are going to try and square the circle in different ways. It's an impossibility to keep liberals and conservatives happy in North America. Shouldn't be. Let's all start with the Bible and go from there." Anyway, he says certain people are heading in different directions. We see no sign of them turning around. Let me just give you an example of no sign of turning around. The leader of the Episcopal Church says agreeing to delaying consecrating more openly gay bishops or officially blessing same-sex couples felt like a crucifixion to her. Presiding Bishop Catherine Jefford Shorey says Episcopal bishops made those concessions last month so the church could remain part of the worldwide Anglican Communion. At a news conference in New York, she said some parts of the communion, quote, are in the 1950s when it comes to homosexuality and need the Episcopal Church's influence. Much like you'd need a poke in the eye with a sharp stick, Jefford Shorey said Episcopalians are not handed a rule book that tells them how to live, but instead are called to wrestle with their faith. He also suggested there are more expansive ways of understanding Jesus and salvation. I'd go still with the Bible and see how that works for you. Just see how that works for you. Get out your prayer list, please. The wife of a member of Beijing's underground Christian church says he was beaten again Wednesday while under house arrest. Hua Huji had been hospitalized the past week after a previous police beating. His wife says he was attacked and beaten by five or six plainclothes officers Wednesday morning as he tried to leave his house. She says police are punishing him for refusing to provide a list of fellow Christians and housing activists. On your prayer list, please. Speaking of your prayer list, the Cherry Creek School District is accused of urging students to go to church and is now facing a lawsuit filed by Freedom From Religion Foundation. The church does a thing called 40 Developmental Assets. Number 19 of the program suggests young adults spend one or more hours per week in activities in a religious institution. This, of course, TOs the Freedom From Religion Foundation. The lawsuit is coming. A spokesman for the district, though, says the district is confident the project is not illegal because it does not mandate participation in any religious activity. Good luck and Godspeed. More Way of the Master Radio coming up. I'm Tony Burkenas.
The Way of the Master Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I, at least, and I presume you, are looking in ways that we feel are right, that we feel are just.
That understanding works for you, and so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
What do you feel like that means to you?
And I feel like God is a God of love.
All you need is love? No, gotta know this book. This is what people bled and died for.
It's the opposite of whimsically careening through life at the response of your emotions to every option.
I've been brought closer and closer to a relationship with God in my own understanding.
Pride says, no, I will not worship that God. I will worship a God in my making and according to my liking.
It's time for the Way of the Master Radio with Kirk Cameron, Ray Comfort, and Todd Frio.
Well, we have ourselves a little Ten Commandment brouhaha. This is Way of the Master Radio. Almost find this boring, frankly, but nevertheless, there's a movie coming out called The Ten Commandments. Excited about that. Anytime the kids get to see The Ten Commandments, that's not such a bad deal. The film opens tomorrow, starring people like Albert Molina, Christian Slater, Ben Kingsley, and apparently the 30-second commercial included the word God. Disney was, they had a buy placed with them. That's your radio lingo for the company that's making the movie bought commercials on their radio stations. And at the very end, when they talked about God, Disney actually cut it off. They censored it. And they're saying, ooh, Disney shouldn't be doing this. Ooh, we're shocked that Disney took the word God out of our commercial. Okay, whatever. It's on Fox News. Whoop-dee-doo. So they did. They didn't. Who cares? Here's what I would like to focus on instead regarding the Ten Commandment movie, which comes out tomorrow. You may be inclined to go. It most likely will probably see it at some point. please don't forget to keep your little discernment goggles on and your discernment earpiece, I guess might be the best term, because it might not be biblical. Just because it's about the Ten Commandments, even though their website, the people at Promenade Pictures, have done a nice job of encouraging people to memorize the Ten Commandments, there might be stuff in it that just isn't right. So when you go with the kids, be prepared to do a little bit of screening yourselves.
One of the greatest and most inspirational stories of all time is now an animated movie event for the entire family. The Ten Commandments.
Do you not remember the river, the basket, the blanket your own mother gave you?
You are destined for great things, Moses.
Hold it right there. That's the stuff that I'm concerned about personally that I've heard. You're destined for great things, Moses. I could be wrong. I'm not condemning the movie. I'm just saying. Just be looking for this. You're destined for great things, Moses. A man wandering in the wilderness can do great things. I wonder if this isn't anything more than a little bit of a you can do great things too kind of story. That is not what the moral to the story is.
Ordinary man.
You are no longer a prince of Egypt, Moses. You are now a prince of the desert.
I'm just a stranger in a strange land.
An extraordinary calling.
Moses. I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cries. Therefore, I will send you, Moses, to free them.
Who am I to do this?
God, I will be with you.
Hear me, Pharaoh. God commands you to let his people go.
Moses, my magicians can outdo your so-called God.
His God is destroying your kingdom. The crops die. The cattle die.
Don't hurt your people anymore. Let my people go.
Featuring the voice talents of Academy Award winner Ben Kingsley, Christian Slater, Alfred Molina, and Academy Award nominee Elliot Gould.
Whoa!
Chosen by God.
Never forget God's word.
Destined to do the impossible.
There it is right there. Moses, destined to do the impossible. No, no, no. This was never, ever, ever about Moses becoming great. This was about God becoming great, rescuing a people out of a land from an oppressor. And this had nothing to do with Moses becoming great in any way, shape, or form. And Moses would undoubtedly be the first to blush and go, oh, no, 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 we've missed the point here. So if that's what the movie focuses on, just keep that little discernment filter going. Because that, you can do great things, might even have bled its way even into what might be a very nice film otherwise.
His new book is Become a Better You. 7 ways to improve your life every day. I'm told that this may be the largest first printing in Free Press's history. Have you heard that?
I have heard that too.
Do you know how many they printed?
I heard it was 3 million copies.
Yowza, brand new book hitting the stands as we speak. It's called Becoming a Better You by Joel Osteen. What I'd like to share with you now is the interview that he just had on Larry King Live. And would like to play for you these clips. I haven't heard them. You haven't heard them, I presume. And let's see what the man said.
I have a question, though.
Yes, huh?
What was his last book titled?
Living Your Best Life Now.
And this is?
Become a Better You.
So if I'm living my best life.
Well, you still
how
need to become
a better
you.
How could I possibly be a better me?
Well.
Well, no, I know how I could be a better me.
See, if I gave that away, you might not go out and buy the 380-page tome that has a Bible reference 66 times in 380 pages. You might not actually go buy that.
Got it.
These 7 steps are keep pressing forward, be positive toward yourself, develop better relationships, form better habits, embrace the place where you are, develop your inner life, stay passionate about life. Seems to me that there's a thread going on there. Nevertheless, let's hear what is the concept of the new book.
What's the concept behind the new book?
Thank you.
The concept is that God never wants us to get in a rut, no matter where we are, how successful or how low we are. We should be growing.
Yes.
We should be learning. We should get better in our attitude, in our relationships. And so it's really just simple things that we probably all know, but it just reminds us to don't get stuck in a rut. Don't get stuck you know, with a health issue and think, well, I'll never get over this. Or even in a marriage, don't get stuck at a certain level. We can all be kinder. We can be happier. We can, you know, grow in our relationship with the Lord.
All right, let me tell you what I think that I'm hearing there. This is a little bit of the frosting without the cake. This is advice about how to make this better and that better. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But if it's nothing but how to have your mind in the place where you perceive things as being better even when they're not, then I don't think that this can have a whole lot of lasting benefit. Let's say that I'm in a marriage right now and it's a clunker. Oh, am I miserable. If I'm just supposed to develop a better attitude, well, I can convince myself it's not a clunker, but it doesn't change the situation, and I wonder how lasting that advice will be. Without teaching the biblical concept that despite how my spouse acts, I am going to love that person. Why? Because I am in a covenant relationship with that individual, and my role in that covenant relationship as a man is to play the role of Jesus Christ. And so even if she is just doing everything she can to shake her fist at me and make me miserable and to attack me, I have to play the role of Jesus and say, I forgive. I love anyway in a sacrificial way. Not necessarily, hey, the romantic buzzy part is nice, but that's not the primary love. A self-sacrificing love. And only when we understand Ephesians 5, that a covenant relationship, a marriage between a man and a woman, is designed to be the role play between Jesus and the church, then we start to go, okay, I can endure, and the way that I can endure is becoming more like Jesus. How do I do that? I read the Word, submit to God, let the Holy Spirit change me, become more like Jesus, and then I will be playing my role no matter how my spouse responds. Now, that is a different teaching. One focuses on becoming more like Jesus for the glory of Jesus. The other one is just, well, have a good attitude.
You think that there is a God looking down on Joel right now.
I do.
Saying, I'm going to give Joel a good day.
I do. I believe God's concerned about every part of our life. People kind of give me a hard time because I say, you know what, God wants you to help you find a good parking spot or help you to, you know, have a good day. But I believe God will be involved in as much as our lives as we allow him to.
Let me share with you an interesting perspective on something that is not very often spoken of these days in Christianity. And this is a very, very, very difficult teaching. Nevertheless, imprecatory psalms. Imprecatory psalms. Imprecatory psalms are in the Bible. These are the psalms that were written that has the psalm writer saying things that we these days hear and we go, whoa. For instance, it would say things like, God, regarding my enemies, do these things. The nations will break the arm of the wicked and evil man, call him to account for his wickedness. Huh? Why does the wicked man revile God? Crush him. Smush him. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. Psalm 69:24. O Lord, the God who avenges, O God who avenges, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Pay back to the proud what they deserve. Now, I'm not suggesting that this is right. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to share something with you from Peter Hammond's book called The Power of Prayer. He was just in here the other day. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, I still think it's worth your time to go back and find that archived show at wayofthemasterradio.com. He brings an explanation to imprecatory psalms. Typically, we'll say things like, well, that was in the Old Testament. It was a rougher time. We don't pray those anymore. Okay. Well, we should understand those a little bit differently. We don't pray for God to do that to them now. We pray that he'll deal with them that way in eternity if they're not saved. That's a possibility. But maybe somebody who is in the front lines of a more evil world would be Peter Hammond, who's in South Africa day in and day out, getting strafed at, bombed at, threatened, put in jail, says, wait a second, we should be praying these imprecatory psalms. He writes this, the scriptures make it clear that these prayers are not to be prayed for our own selfish motives nor against our personal enemies. Rather, they are to be prayed in Christ for his glory and against his enemies. The psalmist describes the targets of these imprecations, these get 'em God psalms. Those who devise injustice in their heart and whose hands mete out violence. Those who boast of evil and are a disgrace in the eyes of God. Those are the people that we should be going. These people who do horrible, horrible things that tear down villages. I just watched his video of what's going on in the Sudan, where they just knock down villages. People are starving to death. You know, those little emaciated children, where women are being raped, where villages are being plundered. He's saying, pray those psalms. Because of the real manifestation of evil in the world being carried out by these horrible people, God, get them! It's an injustice. It's horrible. Deal with them. And so to hear somebody talking about God wanting us to get the best parking spot, it just seems that we need a little bit of a reality check here. Is God involved in the details of our life? Yeah, I think so. Of course he is. God is involved in everything. Does he sometimes get us a parking spot? I don't know the answer to that and how that works. I don't know. But boy, to position God like he's just up in outer space, he's trying to get you just the best life. And we've got these situations that are going on right now in places like Africa. I got to tell you something. It just strikes as real trite, real small, real petty, really insignificant, and really just a diminishing of God and who he is and what he does. Let me go back to the imprecatory Psalms for a moment, because I find this to be somewhat challenging. That's just for whatever it's worth. Amidst the burned-out churches and devastation of Marxist Angola, I found the survivors of communist persecution, including the crippled and maimed, widows and orphans, praying for God to strike down the wicked and remove the persecutions of the church. I was shocked, yet it was biblical. Even the martyrs in heaven pray, "How long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Seems a little bit bigger than a parking space issue, does it not? The initiator of the communist persecution in Angola was Ernestino Nieto, described as a drunken, psychotic Marxist poet. Nieto had been installed by Cuban troops as the first dictator of Angola. He boasted, "Within 20 years, there won't be a Bible or a church left in Angola. I will have eradicated Christianity." Getting you a parking place? Yet despite the vicious waves of church burning and massacres, it is not Christianity that was eradicated in Angola, but him. He died in mysterious circumstances on an operating table in Moscow. And he goes on to list all of these different times. In Romania, I learned of a series of remarkable incidents recorded of God judging the persecutors of the church in answer to prayer. A communist official ordered a certain pastor to be arrested. The next day, the official died of a heart attack. Because these are evil men doing evil things, and does God perhaps respond to imprecatory prayers because it's such grotesque evil? The answer is, I don't know. I don't know. But perhaps this would be, first, another way of explaining the imprecatory psalms that we sometimes struggle over. That maybe when there is true, rotten evil that is going on in the world, these prayers are indeed prayable today. And done in context with listening to a book that's just going to help you live your best life now in 7 steps or whatever this is all about. Sure seems small. Sure seems trite. Does it not? Does it not seem like there's more important things going on than whether or not God's going to allow me to match a tie with my suit so that I look good, so that I've got a better attitude, so that I can get more stuff and cope in life? At the same time, I want to say, yeah, God is involved with that stuff, and he does care about the details. But we've turned God into getting us a parking spot. And maybe, just maybe we need to find balance in this somewhere between the imprecatory recommendations of a Peter Hammond and somewhere between Joel Osteen with God helping you find a parking spot. Maybe, just maybe, that's the place we need to be. We'll talk to more about Joel more next.
Is your daily commute more like NASCAR than nice? Are you wondering why your, if you can read this, your too close bumper sticker isn't working? Do you wish people would learn what a turn signal is? If so, 101 annoying things about other drivers will delight and entertain you. This collection of funny stories, quotes, riddles, and jokes about the annoying things that happen on the road is a great gift for friends, co-workers, or family members, as it includes a gospel message. Find it at wayofthemasterradio.com.
You now have a choice. Which would you prefer, MySpace.com or HisHolySpace.com? Seems pretty obvious. If you visit a lot of secular sites, you can get hammered by smut and vulgarity and blasphemy and assaults on Christianity. How's about taking a break and visiting HisHolySpace.com, designed to be an oasis in a desert of secularism? Want to learn? Be encouraged? Fellowship with other visitors? Forget the MySpace.com. Instead, visit HisHolySpace.com.
More surprises than a church potluck. The Way of the Master Radio with Kirk Cameron, Ray Comfort, and Todd Friel. Now available in THX.
You too can be like Moses. Huh? This is Way of the Master Radio. Can't wait to see the Ten Commandments movie. Just want to make sure that I filter the entire message and talk to the kids about it afterwards. If it's more of a you can part Red Seas kind of movie, just like Moses. Hey, Ray.
Yes.
The imprecatory psalms.
Yes.
We were chatting about it during the break.
Hmm.
Do you think that they should be prayed today?
Not in the anger sense, like, smash out their teeth, oh God. Please smash their teeth out today. I've always taken it as, if someone does me something rotten and I'm feeling real angry, I just tell God how angry I am, and I feel like smashing their teeth out. But Lord, I don't want to be like that. I pray that you'll take vengeance in your time if you want to show the mercy in the meantime. I'll show that person mercy and love, because we're called to love our enemies and do good to those that despitefully use us. And, I mean, you can justify and say there's wicked people in the world that deserve to have their teeth smashed out, but the Apostle Paul, before he was converted, would have fallen into that category. He persecuted Christians to death. He killed Christians. He was there when Stephen was stoned. And so I'd never pray, smash out their teeth, oh God, but I would be honest to God in saying how I feel and saying something like that.
So you would fall into the camp of, these are simply designed to help us express our anger to God, but it's not really a sincere prayer to do that to God, that we want God to do that.
I think so. I think you can find proverbs that say not to do that.
Yeah, that's one of the explanations that I've always heard. When I was reading through this Peter Hammond book, and he's in a place where horrible things are happening in the Sudan, where people mass murders and killing. As you imagine those things, the imprecatory psalms almost seem to be a little, it's almost like, you know, in that context, when somebody is being oppressively evil, God, make this stop. Deal with them now, because this is so evil. It's pretty compelling to me.
What about smash out their sins, oh God, and give them a new heart?
That would be a great prayer, too. This is Way of the Master Radio. Let's go fishing with Trish. Oh, is her website done?
Yes, and it's very good. Do you remember the address?
Fishwithtrish.com.
That's it.
Right, Trish?
Hi.
Fishwithtrish.com?
You got it.
Yeah, that's catchy. I like it. Fishwithtrish.com.
I wonder who kind of thought of it. I stole it from you, Todd, from about a year ago when you were thinking, what rhymes with fish and Trish and fish with Trish? And yeah. And I thought, wow, that sounds really catchy. And you know, I'd meet people in Dallas and Fort Worth, and they're like, well, don't you have a website? Do you have somewhere that I can get in touch with you? And I just kept having to write down all my things over and over. You know, so I thought, I'm going to do this website. So, you know, there's some fun stuff on there. You can see all the behind-the-scenes photos of, you know, fishing photos that haven't been seen, some behind-the-scenes Europe.
Hey, Trish, have you got any photos of your husband up there?
Say Emilio? That again, Ray.
Have you got any photos of Emilio?
I do, yes.
Good
yes,
idea.
He'll
yeah.
be, he's in a whole bunch of fishing photos, and the site is still being worked on, so the team's still working on it, so it's not, you know, completely completed. But yeah, you'll see under the Sovereign Joy section, you'll be able to hear my husband Emilio's teaching ministry. He's teaching exegetically right now through the book of John. He's
cool.
Expositing the text, and then there's a Islam message that we've posted. So every week there will be, you know, his teaching message will be posted on there. So that's always a joy. And then also, you know, there's the section as well where, you know, people can request me to do a free one-day seminar,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. It takes all of basically like 8 weeks of the Way of the Master basic training course and puts it all into 1 4-hour night. And so all the information is on the website for that as well. And then on the homepage, there'll be daily or weekly updates behind the same things. And so, yeah, it's exciting.
Very cool.
Todd had a usable idea. October 2007. All right, let's go fishing, Trish. Who's there?
Okay, I'm at the grassy knoll where JFK was assassinated, and it's a beautiful day today. I found three young girls that they're 18, and they took their friend Betsy out here on a tour. And so you know how this works. I know you guys always get nervous, but we can do one or two ways. I can give you one. I can talk to all three.
Yeah.
There it is. I knew that was coming. Goodbye, Ray.
Goodbye. God bless you.
See
guys.
Ya. Take Bye-bye. Care. Be good.
Enjoy your Weetabix, Ray.
All right. So these are younger girls?
Yeah. They're 18 and one's 19.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay. So they're not like kids.
I don't know much about them. I just know they came here today to kind of sightsee and take their friend Betsy here to see the infamous spot where JFK was assassinated.
All right,
and boy, there are a lot of, I can't believe how many people are here, Todd, that just come and like hang around for hours.
And just watch it. Well, that Kennedy mystique, it still is pretty powerful.
It is. It's an eerie feeling kind of here, and you just kind of, you know, all the video clips and pictures play back in your mind, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, those sites can be some pretty powerful stuff. Now, make sure you do this, Trish, just because the phone thing is a little on the crackly side, just put it right in their mush. You got to get right up to their mouth so that we can hear them loud and clear, okay?
Let's do it. You want me to take over, Todd?
Yep.
Okay, so we're live on the radio, guys.
Happen,
thank you so much for being here. You're welcome.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you first, why are you guys here at this spot? Why specifically? You guys are young. You weren't even born when JFK was assassinated. You were not in existence. Why are you here today?
Truthfully, we're broke and this is free.
This is a free excitement. Now, Betsy, they're taking you around to, is that right, to see this location?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, what do you guys think? Like, did you feel like it was eerie here, or do you know a lot of history about this?
Well, I don't know a lot, but Peyton knows. Yeah, I know a lot. I think it's really interesting. So
do you guys think that JFK, I mean, obviously he didn't know what was going to happen to him. Right behind you was the corner that he came around in his Lincoln, and within, you know, 10 to 20 seconds, he was shot. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. You know, and he was dead. He had everything going for him. Beautiful wife, wonderful life. He was only 45 years old, the president of the United States of America. Now, guys, do you know when you're going to die?
I hope not soon.
I know. I hope not either. Dude, what was that?
That I want to be old.
I don't know if I want to be old anymore, but well, let me ask you guys a couple quick questions. What do you think happens after somebody dies?
I think you just rest. I honestly think that, you know, it takes a while, you know, I believe, like, Jesus is going to come back, and you rest until he comes back. I honestly believe that.
What happens after he comes back?
It's going to be the thousand-year reign that he's going to do, where he's going to try to get the world back together, good people, I believe, you know. Everyone's going to have their second chance, and after that thousand years, you know, he's going to let the Satan come back and see who actually is bad and who's good, and then from there you'll go.
Now, where are you getting that from, Bethany?
Actually, from the Bible. I actually went to, I'm Christian, but I actually went to a Kingdom Hall for a couple of years, like when I was 16, and, you know, they used to talk about that a lot, so that's where I kind of got that from.
Okay, now what do you believe is going to happen, Betsy?
I believe that when you die, you're going to go to what's called purgatory.
So you're Catholic?
You're going to go to purgatory, and you're going to, you know, you have to wait. To wait, and
let me ask you this, where are you gonna go?
I'm gonna go to heaven.
Now tell me why.
Because I'm good.
Now, do you think you're gonna go to heaven, Peyton?
I think your spirit goes to heaven. I think everybody just, they get buried, and then your spirit goes to heaven.
Where do you think you'll go, Peyton?
I think I'll go to heaven.
And why?
I think God will forgive me, or Jesus, whoever, will forgive me for the sins that I have, because that's what he does, and then I'll, you know, be welcomed into heaven.
What type of religion are you, or what do you practice?
I'm Catholic, but I'm not a practicing Catholic.
Okay. when you were younger you were? Okay, so let me ask you guys a couple quick questions. Do you mind taking the, it's called a good person test, just to see if it's true. You're all, yeah, you big smiles. Here we go. Okay. Big smiles. Here it is. Ready? Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
Okay, what do you call someone who tells lies?
Think.
There you go. You got it. A liar, okay? Have you ever stolen anything? Value is irrelevant, even if it's something small.
Yes.
Okay, what do you call somebody who steals? Not a stealer.
A thief.
Very good. A thief. Excellent. Okay. Here's another one. Now this one's pretty serious. Have you ever used God's name in vain to express disgust? Okay, you're dropping your head. Why, Betsy?
I have.
I
always correct myself. I say, and I'm like, oh, I so did not mean that. Gosh darn it.
Okay, well, check it out, guys. That's pretty serious because the Bible says that God is not going to hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Okay, so that's serious. Here's one more, okay, because you've broken all of those three. I'm going to give you one more. Yeah, pretty serious, huh? Okay, no crying yet. I'll get to my Kleenex in a second, but check it out, guys. One more, and it's called adultery. Okay, but Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, if you even look upon a person to lust after them, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Now, have you ever done that?
Well, I'm not married.
Yeah. Well, adultery is when, you know, when you're married and you cheat on your spouse or whatnot. But Jesus said, if you even look upon a person to lust after them, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So if you've ever, now, why are you smiling, Bethany? Again, you're full of smiles today. Here's the thing, is that if you've even looked upon, you know, a guy to lust after him and want him in a way that, you know, is sexual, then God sees it as adultery. So here's the thing. You guys don't have to admit that because you've already broken the other three. If God were to judge you by just those three commandments, would you be innocent or guilty?
Would I be what?
Innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
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 Now, based on that, would you go to heaven or hell?
I would hope he would forgive me and go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell.
And here's the thing, guys, is that I don't want you to go to hell either. And God made a way of escape so that you would not have to go to hell. Okay? God did something so that you wouldn't. Because the truth is that you violated those commandments, and we've only looked at four. There's six more. And that's very serious. Yeah. You recognize the seriousness, and it's true. If the Bible's true or it's not, we know that it's true, and God's commandments bear witness with you. You have a conscience. Means with knowledge, you know that everything that I'm saying is true. You're not in your head. Now, here's the thing. What did God do so that you would not have to go to hell? You see, he provided a way of escape. I'm not going to stand here today and just let you got your jaws drop and me leave you with no hope. I'm going to give you hope. And do you know what it is?
Forgave us.
How?
You can go and get yourself rebaptized and give yourself back to God.
No, that's not it. That's an F.
His son, he gave up his only son.
Say that again?
He gave up our only son, his only son, for our sins, so we would be forgiven.
Bingo, Bethany. That's it. There it is. Okay, let me tell you. I'm going to give you a clear gospel presentation, guys, and really think about it. Today is not by chance that we stopped here and we talked, okay? Because death is real, and it can snatch your lives at any moment. You guys are not. You're only 18. You're 19 years old, and it could come at any moment. Here's the thing. That Jesus Christ died on the cross almost 2,000 years ago. He paid the fine so that you wouldn't have to. You see, you broke the law, you broke God's standards, and he paid the fine. If you trust in him, trust in his death and resurrection, that he died on the cross, he rose from the grave, you repent of your sins, you will be saved. Does anybody have any idea what it means to repent?
I go to confession and confess my sins.
And it's even more than that. And it's not just saying you're sorry, it's actually turning 180 degrees from what you're doing. Let's say you're fornicating or having sex outside of marriage, or you're blaspheming God, doing the things that you know are wrong. You need to repent of those things and trust in the Lord and read your Bibles daily. Do you guys have Bibles?
Yes.
You do?
Right beside my bed.
Well, I want to challenge you guys. Read it. Read your Bibles. Get plugged into a good church that teaches the Bible, even verse by verse, maybe exegetically. Guys, there's nothing more important than living for the Lord at all. You're young. You could have a long life ahead of you, but you may not. You know, JFK, he was only 45. He was a very young man, and he died suddenly and instantly, and he was not expecting it. Death can snatch each and every one of us, and we've got to be prepared to meet our Maker. And that's the gospel message, guys, and it's good news. Because tonight you can go home, and you don't need me to pray a prayer with you. You don't need me to you know, say anything. You don't have to go to a priest to confession. You can go straight to God. Jesus Christ is our mediator. That's what the Bible says. And that's how you can have peace with God, is through Christ, not any other way.
And she said she was going to give a clear gospel message. She wasn't kidding. Now, consider this. Trish was standing there with two Catholics, one practicing, sort of, one non-practicing, and a Jehovah's Witness. Did the subject of the divinity of Jesus, Mariology, anything come up? Nope. Not when you just simply proclaim, using the law before the gospel, the theological wrangling as virtually non-existent. Joel Osteen on Larry King Live, next on Way of the Master Radio.
Do you ever think about the second coming of the Lord? What a wonderful day that will be. But have you ever meditated on what it will be like for the sinful world? The teaching, How to Obtain Zeal, will give you a fresh perspective on that terrible day. You'll also learn that the Bible has a key to prosperity for every Christian. Not the prosperity of the modern message, but a biblical success that requires only one condition. It's a conditional key that will transform your life forever. How to Obtain Zeal at wayofthemasterradio.com.
Yowza! I just heard you say chutzpah. Yikes! Oy vey! Don't say chutzpah. It's chutzpah. Chutzpah. No chutzpah. Chutzpah.
Okay, Rita just made my day when she answered what it makes you when you steal something. You're a burglar.
Your local Christian music station. Music to barely help you get through the day. Forget about glorifying God and all that stuff.
You were a little insensitive on the atheist persecution. Didn't you hear Ron Reagan? We've been looking askance at them. Stop that.
Nevertheless. So now you don't have to use that word today.
Bumper sticker reads, horses are proof that God loves us. Horses, huh? I suppose the car was traveling too fast for me to read the fine print, which was probably saying, oh, and that thing you did on the cross was nice too.
Want to talk? 1-877-282-BEEP.
Need your territory expanded? Get a real estate agent. The Way of the Master Radio with Kirk Cameron, Ray Comfort, and Todd Friel. Now available in THX.
What is the purpose of the gospel? This is Way of the Master Radio. Got a lot of ground to cover here. There's a new book hitting the streets right now. 3 million copies printed immediately. That's a huge deal. It's Joel Osteen's brand new book, To Become a Better You. Wonderful review of it, by the way, at Challies.com. C-H-A-L-L-I-E-S. Where I think Tim Challies brings out a very important point. He says, life is meant to glorify God, not to bring blessing and ease to the individual. That seems to be the emphasis of this latest book. And like any book, doesn't matter who the author is, we're going to go through it with a biblical filter to figure out if it is biblical. So here's the question. What is the reason for the Bible? I'll tell you. The Bible is the inspired word of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be equipped for every good work. What is the reason for our existence? To glorify God and enjoy Him forevermore. Joel Osteen was on Larry King Live.
The Bible is full of common sense that can help us in our everyday lives.
Nope. That's not the purpose of the Bible. Is it full of common sense? Sure, mostly in the Proverbs. But instead, it is theology. It is doctrine. It is for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. And more than that, it is so that people who are not Christians can hear it and get soundly saved. It is not a get-through-life easier book. It is an instruction manual on how people can get saved when they learn who God is, what He has done, who we are, and what we must do to be saved so that He can be glorified.
Victoria, when Joel is criticized for not being the pastor who hangs the cross behind him, how do you react?
Well, I just look at all the fruit and all the people's lives that are being changed and being touched, and that's what we really focus on.
Well, that's interesting. Tony Robbins can change a lot of people's lives. But I've got to tell you, I think we've got to watch out for this change life business, because that is a catchphrase in evangelicalism these days. In fact, there's another high-profile evangelical who's saying, we're going to do this and that over the next few years because we need to see more lives changed. I would like to suggest to you, now I might be being a little picky on this, I would like to suggest we get away from that phrase. Because a lot of things can change people's lives. The lottery can change people's lives. A few good meals could change somebody's lives. Getting them out of the slums could change their lives. Only Christianity can save their soul so that God can be glorified. And the change lives things, we evangelicals use this a ton. Hey, boy, this we've really seen some changed lives. Yeah, that's nice, and that's a fruit. But that's not, that shouldn't be the centerpiece of it. It should be, wow, somebody got saved and God's kingdom just got a little bit bigger so that he can be glorified for his kindness more. One phrase puts the focus on man. The other phrase puts the focus on God.
Could an atheist be changed?
I think so.
Without having to believe in God.
Well, I think there's a void in every person that only God can fill. I think that's how you can really be fulfilled truly. So I would think an atheist can be changed in their attitude and certain things, but I do think when you come to a belief that there's something bigger than yourself, you're going to be more fulfilled.
Okay. Sorry. That's not what the issue is about. It's not about fulfillment. It's not about the I just don't feel so empty anymore. That's nice. That's a benefit. It's true. But that's not the gospel. So, yeah, there's some truth in what the man is saying, but it's not the big truth, and it's not the important truth.
What about the critics who say, where's the fire and brimstone? Why don't you pound the lectern? The devil is coming!
Yeah, you know, I don't know, Larry. It's just, you know, it's just different to ways to present it.
That's an interesting statement. Now, are there different ways to present? Well, sure. One guy wears a tie, the other one is open-collared. One guy maybe tells more anecdotes. Somebody begins with a... Yeah, sure. But the message itself doesn't change.
The gospel is translated good news. And to me, good news is letting people know that God loves them, that Jesus came, that we can overcome any obstacle.
Hold it. That's not the gospel.
We can be forgiven for our mistakes.
Well, mistakes is not the same as sins. But it's a watering down of language. Mistakes are... Oh! Ah, should have filed the taxes earlier. Ah, mistake. Sin. That's the term. Sin. It's a violation of God's law.
I don't see how beating people down every time they get in front of me, how that helps them to grow closer to God.
Well, because, well, hold on, that was a straw man. That's not what the gospel does, beat people down. We are down. The preaching of the gospel exposes our real position and that God will lift us from that. So that was a straw man. And that's not what the gospel is the good news of forgiveness of sins.
And so, you know, there's a scripture that says it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. And even though we don't beat people down, we see thousands of people come to know the Lord.
Well, God only knows that. And God can use all kinds of things. But if the gospel isn't being proclaimed correctly, we don't want to say, well, it doesn't matter how we preach it, as long as the results appear to be good. Nope. Salvation is of the Lord. It's our job to preach it faithfully. Faithfully. And the important part, you're gonna get a better life. It's just misrepresenting what the gospel is.
What's your notion of hell?
Well, I believe hell's a real place. I think it's... You know, the scripture talks about its separation from God.
It is a real place. Sir, why don't we warn them about that? And it's separation from God. Yes, it's separation from God. That's even a biblical phrase. But do we understand what separation of God is? Do we know what that implication is? The only way to get that, well, probably not the only way, but a way to get that is to understand the general goodness of God even now. Do you realize how good God is right now? Do you realize how kind he is right now in that my ability and your ability right now to go and get oxygen to the places where it needs to go so that our body can function is because of his grace, general grace, that even the atheist, that even the raging heathen gets a blessing from God in the ability to breathe and to live and to move and to eat. Richard Dawkins enjoys a lot of nice meals. Richard Dawkins is spared from a lot of car accidents and plane crashes. And from all kinds of horrible things, it's a general grace of God. When God's general kindness is removed, that separation from God in hell, anything good is gone. So to just say, well, you're just separated from God, and that's a bummer because it sure is nifty to be around him. Hold on, it's way more than that. Anything that is pleasant right now, including the light that is allowing you to see the radio, that it is tuned into the right station so that it doesn't go... is a grace of God. That light will be gone. Do you know what it's like to be in black darkness? They say you shouldn't do that. Never put yourself in complete darkness for longer than a few minutes. You go bonkers. That's what it's like in hell. Utter darkness. You can't see your hand in front of your face because the general kindness of God is gone when we're separated from him. So to just say, we just don't get to hang with the big guy in the sky, that is trite. Separation from God is the worst possible description of what can happen to a human being.
And I believe if God is light and love and everything good, then hell's going to be everything bad. I mean, we certainly don't want to go there, and I don't think hell was designed for people.
But who goes there then? If it's not designed for people, then we should be warning people about that. Not just talking about Benny's.
You think there's too much emphasis on me in the church, you know, what some call the prosperity gospel?
Well,
gotta tell you, Larry sure is getting savvy, isn't he? That boy, he's plugged in. Not saved. He's plugged in.
Well, I think there needs to be a balance. I think there has been and there can be, but I think the whole prosperity thing is, you know, if somebody asks, do I believe that God wants you to be well and happy and whole and have good relationships and have beautiful children, my answer would be yes.
My answer would be yes, too.
Because I'm a father, and I want the best for my children. I don't want to spoil them, and I'm not talking about, you know, all this money, but I want them to have a good life. Well, God's our heavenly Father. But I do think some...
Hold on a second. Hold on. He wants us to have a good life. Hold on. Do you remember the Paul Washer sermon? If you've never listened to this thumper by Paul Washer, it's, I don't know where you can have a sermon index, probably, where he talks about his son. And he talks to these kids, 5,000 kids at some Baptist convention. And he said, I don't want for you what your parents want. I don't want for you to get the brokerage job so that you can make a lot of money and you can have a house in a cul-de-sac. I want you to take the gospel to the most remote place in the world and plant a flag on a mountain where Jesus Christ has never been heard of before. That's what I want for you. So does God want nice things for us? Well, define nice. I don't see the New Testament about living a cushy life in the burbs. That's not the emphasis. And I think Paul Washer is way closer to it than this book and this preaching by Joel Osteen. We're very myopic in this country. We're just focused on the American dream. God has a different dream than the American dream. He has different commands. Take the gospel and go. Now you're a foot soldier enlisted in the army. Don't get distracted. You're a bondservant, a slave to Jesus Christ, not destined for a life of cushy.
People take it, you know, some people can blow anything out of proportion. It's not all about money. I mean, we all know people have all the money in the world but can't sleep at night. So it's about, I do believe God wants you to be blessed and he wants you to increase. He wants you to be successful in your career. God never wanted us to drag through life.
But that's sort of kind of true. Does God want us to be good in our career? Well, the answer, I guess, would be no. If I had to answer it yes or no, I'd say no. What, you know what God wants us to do? Be salt and light in our career. That's what God wants. That I think that's more of the emphasis. Not climbing the ladder. That's irrelevant to God. God isn't knocked out by that. God is impressed when we go into the marketplace and we're godly in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants. So it's a slightly... And is it nice that people get blessed? Yes, of course it is. Don't get me wrong. I'm not poo-pooing any of that stuff. But that's not the primary. The primary is that we are godly in Christ Jesus so that he can be glorified. It's simply a different emphasis. And I think the approach... Here's the difference, I think, in approach. This is what I think, and here's a verse to support it. Versus, this is what the Bible says, and this is how it applies. It's simply a different approach to Scripture. It's a different approach to God. It's a different approach to authority.
According to the Bible, Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. How do you square that with your lifestyle, do you think?
Larry, wow, tough questions. Way to go, Larry. He did his homework.
You may not get in because you're doing too well.
No, I don't think so. I think you have to
I'm only quoting Jesus.
I know. I think you have to take the whole context. When he's quoting that, I believe that man's focus was all about money. And it depends on where your heart is. Abraham, way back where Christianity was started, it said he was the wealthiest man in all the East.
That's Old Testament. Got to watch out for that. That's right. God did bless people in the Old Testament. That is true. Under that covenant. Now I think we see in Ephesians 1 spiritual blessings which are far superior.
I think David left
Old
the
Testament.
Equivalent of $1 billion to his son Solomon to build the temple. Almost didn't know it.
play the next clip.
What's the biggest things that hold people back?
Well, I don't know if there's one thing. The big
God.
Things, I think, is one, not having your priorities right, not taking time for God. Once you get past that...
Okay, we're just going to skip over that. What holds us back? That's not what the Christian life is about. That's just not what it's about. Are those things important, doing things at work and providing for your family? Yes, but this is just cart before the horse. This is just a different emphasis. It's a different perspective. It's a different priority. I believe the Bible is about us getting saved, glorifying God, growing in the process of sanctification, sharing the gospel so that others might partake, so that God can be glorified. Not about advancing. Now, is it nice when that happens? Yes. Do we say the Christians shouldn't? No. But that is not the emphasis of Scripture. That's never what we see the Bible as being a manual so that you can become like Abraham.
Now, some people live, though, in very difficult circumstances, poverty and crime-ridden neighborhoods. Aren't there limitations to the message?
Well, I think there's no limitations to God. He can do anything. I do think people, like you said, that are...
See, while I appreciate that he tries to say there's balance to it, he jumps into a question like that, like, oh yeah, God can get you out of poverty and make you rich. That's just not what the gospel is about.
How do you feel about Mitt Romney and being a Mormon? Would that affect whether you vote for him or not?
I don't think that would affect me. I've heard him say that he believes in Jesus as his Savior just like I do. I hadn't studied it deeply, and maybe people don't agree with me, but I like to look at a person's value and what they stand for.
Well, I like to look at it and see what they actually believe Jesus is. And the Mormon Jesus isn't the same Jesus as the Bible. And even Bob Jones, who decided to endorse Mitt Romney, said the very same thing. If Joel doesn't understand that distinction, that the Mormons believe in a completely different Jesus, he needs to sign up for the School of Biblical Evangelism at wearethemasterradio.com.
Whoa!
Thank you very much. Until tomorrow, you're welcome. Go serve your king.